done on Sunday morning in light of Memorial Day, and I'm looking forward to that this year, along with some very special music. And so we're looking forward to a good weekend, and I pray that tonight would be a blessing to you. So if you have your Bibles and you're able to, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to look at one verse briefly, and we'll read some other ones here shortly. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity we've had tonight to come together in fellowship. And God, I'm thankful for our kids and for their teachers, the verses that they read. Lord, especially those of your love for us and our salvation. I'm so grateful, Lord, that kids can be taught from a very young age the plan of salvation, and they can understand it so that by a childlike faith, they can understand and know Jesus as their Savior. And so I thank you for that portion of our evening tonight. And God, I pray now that as we open the Word of God, that you would give me wisdom so that I could rightly divide Scripture for these that have come. Lord, that you would help me to be a blessing to them. Help me to be an encouragement tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be emptied and clean of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit. Lord, I need you tonight. And I pray that you just use me as your vessel, as a mouthpiece. Lord, just preach and teach through me tonight so that you would be honored and that we would be encouraged, that we could be helped as we leave here. Lord, we want to thank you again for your sacrifice for us on Calvary. We want to thank you that, Lord, you are the light of heaven and you have said that we are now the light of the world. And so I pray that tonight you'd help something to be said and done from your word that would help us, Lord, to make a difference where we will be tomorrow, Lord willing. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Memorial Day is all about remembering the sons and the daughters of our country who have lost their lives. And yet in reality, in Genesis chapter 4, we see the first family to ever lose a son in battle. Genesis chapter 4 tells us that the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, and both were instructed in the way of the Lord, and both were reminded of the sacrifice they were supposed to bring. Cain brought one gift that God did not honor, and Abel brought a sacrifice and a gift that God did honor, and that's the context. Well, all that being said, once Cain figured out, and I'm paraphrasing, once Cain figured out by God's word that his offering was not acceptable, and God gave him an opportunity to change his mind, Cain not only did not change his mind, but he rose up, the Bible says, against his own brother, and he killed him. The first death in the Bible, the first son to ever lose his life in battle. We see then that man was not on this earth very long before the first battle ever broke out. They were mad at each other. Abel was, in that sense, the first casualty of a very righteous cause. Since the fall of man, then, this tragedy has been repeated over and over in world history. And our text reveals to us a truth that we tend to forget, that dead men can speak. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 4, the latter part of it, and by it, talking about God testifying of his gifts, by it he being dead yet speaketh. So it really does matter how you live your life. It really does matter what you live for. It really does matter the things that you do, and they will give a testimony of you long after you are dead. What is the message of Abel? What are the words from his grave? Briefly tonight, I want you to take your outlines and I want you to notice with me three important facts that Abel speaks to of life. The first fact is that Abel speaks to us of the sinfulness of man. And the sinfulness of man. In Genesis chapter 3, we have sin making an entrance into the world. And then the very following chapter, in chapter 4, we have violence because of that sin. Eve was deceived, Adam chose, they sinned, and the result of that was a loss of a loved one. So we see very easily then, and this is not profound by any stretch of the imagination, but letter A, sin's the problem in society. Sin is the problem in society. People aren't the problem, sin is the problem in society. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 reminds us, I think you may have it in your notes, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart, precede evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemy. So you could say there's a lot of circumstances that perhaps would go into a certain individual's life, and you could, I suppose, subscribe to that philosophy. But in reality, at the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart, and the heart of the problem is sin. That is, that every heart on this continent and in this world is all sinful, according to the Bible. It comes out of us. That's why every attempt to fix society's problem apart from this knowledge that it is a root sin all fail, because they're trying to put a Band-Aid on a symptom rather than attack the heart of the problem. We see sin is the problem in society. We understand that, secondly, Jesus is the only answer to the problem. If sin's the problem, then Jesus is the answer to the problem. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, so far, all that I've said is not new to the vast majority of you in here, but I do want to remind you that this, as Christians, we're supposed to be part of the solution, not the problem. We're supposed to be part of the solution, not the problem. If any man be in Christ, well, if I'm in Christ, then I'm not supposed to have a problem like those problems out in society. Why? Because I'm supposed to be a new creature, which also means that my purpose in this world is to help other people not be out of Christ anymore, but to be in Christ. So the only real, true rehabilitation that happens in this world does not come from the prison system or from the AA meetings, that comes from the church house and salvation at Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. So Abel speaks to us, first of all, of the sinfulness of men. His life was taken as a result of Cain's sin. Secondly, we see not only does he speak to us of the sinfulness of men, but he speaks to us concerning the shortness of life. Now, he did not live very long, but he did live. And at a very early age, his life was taken from him. Now, in light of that, the Bible says that he, being dead, yet speaketh. And we understand that by his death, we see, first of all, that he had a different pursuit of life. It was completely different from Abel's. He was pursuing righteousness. Abel was into doing that which was pleasing to the Lord, not that which was displeasing to the Lord. I'm not sure if he truly thought of the length of his life, but I'm convinced that he definitely thought of the pursuit of it. He may not have thought, I may die tomorrow, but he was prepared to die. The Bible says, in fact, in Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so was thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You have to agree that Abel did just that. He wasn't going to be distracted. It was time to go to worship God. It was time to bring an acceptable sacrifice. And he had the right of mind to say, this is what is acceptable to God and this is what is not. I am going to bring that which is acceptable. His pursuit in life was to please the Lord. Secondly, then we see that he had prepared for eternal life. Though Abel was young, he was ready to meet God. Let me ask you a question. Are you? I struggled with this on Monday night. I went over and I visited a young man and his wife, and I tried to ask him how he knew for sure he was on his way to heaven. He assured me that he was on his way to heaven. And then he began to tell me he's on his way to heaven because he loves everybody. Because he really loves his family, that he doesn't do anything wrong. And then he said, well, I tell little bitty white lies, but I do love everybody. And I tried to convince him what the Bible standard is. I tried to convince him that we only have one life to prepare for the next life. And he was convinced that he was okay, that he didn't need Jesus Christ. Abel was not of that mindset. Abel was of the mindset that said, you know what, if God requires a sacrifice of an unblemished lamb and it has to be a blood sacrifice, then I'm going to obey the command of God and I will offer that sacrifice. By the way, praise the Lord, the Lamb of God was offered for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Abel had peace with God because of the type of Christ in the Lamb that died. He was prepared to die because he obeyed God's orders. fact of the matter is his sacrifice was righteous. That is, it satisfied God's requirement for sin and was accepted. You see, the problem is there are so many people running around this world in good-meaning churches, and they have good-meaning homes, but they've never been taught from the Bible what God accepts and what he does not accept. Can I just tell you, the only thing that he accepts when it comes to the day of my death at heaven's door is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing he accepts. He doesn't take my baptism into account. He doesn't take how many times I've taken communion. He doesn't take how many times I've been in church. He doesn't take how many times I have read through his word. What he will ask is, what have you done with my son Jesus? Because I have received him as my personal Savior, then he will allow me into his presence. What a good God he is. The fact of the matter is, the only acceptable means of salvation is Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you prepared for eternity? Because it's coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Several weeks ago, here just in Gilroy, there were four teenagers that died in less than a week's time. Four of them. Three of them, the ages of 18, were all out, and they were with a young man that was 23 years old, and he was drunk. He rode off the road, went into a ditch, and he's the only one that survived just before graduation. Just before that, there was a teenager, a senior cheerleader, they say. She died and went out into eternity. I wonder if any of them were prepared for that. I wonder if they were ready to meet God. They talked about the vigils that they held for them, and they talked about all the remembrance. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if anybody had any forethought. Or do we all just do it all in memory? The fact of the matter is, we need to prepare because of the shortness of life. Abel being dead yet speaketh of the sinfulness of mankind. That's our problem. He also speaks of the brevity of life, the shortness of life, and how soon we learn from Abel's life, even though it may be short, that he did things that were pleasing to God and acceptable to God. But thirdly, Abel speaks to us of the span of a righteous life. The span of a righteous life. Now, it is true that he did not live very long. Though he lived a short life, the Bible does tell us that his testimony is still speaking today. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you look back and if you take the Bible for what it is, then you understand that this world is not hundreds of millions of years old. Okay? I'm here to tell you that. If you didn't know that, you need to believe it. Because we didn't come from apes and monkeys. God spoke, and it was. It's exactly how it happened. Now, if that's true, conservatively, the earth is probably somewhere between 6 and 8,000 years old. Let's say that it's 6,000 years old. For a little less than 6,000 years, Abel and his life has been speaking. That's incredible to me. Now, the Bible says, he being dead yet speaketh. It tells me this, the influence of a righteous life cannot be limited by physical death. So you see, we so are bound to what we're doing now, we never think about what it is we're living for, the pursuit of life, and the pursuit of life will tell us the length and the impact after our death. The fact is, his life was a life of faith. And a life of faith does a couple of things. First of all, it instructs us. His life instructs us on how to live and who to really trust and what it is that we need to believe. By the way, can I just say, you really need to believe the Word of God. You don't need to be caught up in man's opinions. Don't get caught up in what Hollywood has to say or what the government has to say. What we really need to be caught up in is, what does God have to say? What is his opinion about this life? And Abel's life, if it tells us anything, says that you can trust God. Because thousands of years later, God is speaking about Abel's life still. He being dead, yet speaketh. His life, a life of faith, instructs us on how to live and who to trust and what to believe. Consider the impact of the lives of the apostles. Consider if you were standing there when Stephen was stoned to death, and as he looked up, they beheld his face, and it was as of the face of an angel. And though they were stoning him, and though they were cursing him, he said, Father, lay not this to their charge, forgive them. And there was one man that stood there, and he couldn't handle it any longer. Eventually, he got saved. His name was Saul of Tarsus. Stephen being dead yet speaketh, and Paul got saved. And then Paul went all the way to Nero's day, and Nero beheaded Paul. And I will tell you, many people do not know much about Nero, but there are a lot that know much about Paul. Consider the life of the apostles. Consider their testimony. Heroes of the faith have an influence long after death. Why? Because the Bible says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. A one-legged school teacher from Scotland named George Scott came to J. Hudson Taylor and he to offer himself for service in China. He was inspired by Hudson Taylor's dedication to go, and Hudson Taylor had preached and called for people to go to the mission field. And with only one leg, Hudson Taylor said, why do you think of going as a missionary to China? And George Scott replied, I do not see those with two legs going. Now, friend, I don't know what that does to you, but that pricks me right here. There's a man with one leg who wants to do something for God. He being dead still speaks to me. That's pretty good dedication. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed. That's why a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I think Abel chose rightly. A life of faith instructs us. Secondly, it always inspires us. It inspires us to believe God. It inspires us to believe Him for greater things. Hudson Taylor said, all God's giants have been weak men and women who did great things for God because they reckoned on God's power and presence being with them. When you listen to the words of the Apostle Paul out of the book of Acts and you see him standing in the midst of the ship while it's being tossed and everyone else thinking they're going to die, and the Apostle says, I believe God. I have to believe that after that, and then after they were on the island and after someone watched him get bit and not die, someone had to be inspired to do something for God. I don't know if those words exactly got back, but we do know later on that John Mark was salvaged from walking away. Maybe it had something to do with what God had done with the Apostle Paul. I don't know. We do know this. We do know that the young Timothy that got saved began following the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul spent his last days writing encouragement to Timothy so that he could commit the same to others who are faithful also, that they could teach to other people. David Livingstone said, I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. This coming from the man whose wife died at 42 years old and basically lived his entire life to live, breathe, and die in the continent of Africa for one reason, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, notice if you will in verses 1 and 2. Now the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Watch this. For by it elders obtained a good report. All of the rest of chapter 11 is written so that we can hear of the good report. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch, by faith Abel. And it goes on and on and on. You see, those who live their life with eternity in mind will have an eternal impact on those who have watched their life. So let me ask you a question. In light of Abel being dead yet speaking, what are you doing that's going to last forever? Because all Abel did was obey God. That's all he did. I mean, there was nothing. He didn't build an ark. He didn't necessarily go on and he didn't see all of Nineveh saved. He didn't rule Israel. He didn't slay a giant. He just gave a sacrifice. All he did was say, Lord, I want to bring that which is acceptable to you. And God said that he said, by faith Abel offered. and more excellent sacrifice, and he obtained a good obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What are you doing that's going to last forever? You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, only the first verse that we read tells us really what faith is. Some people would say, well, what is faith really? Well, verse 1 tells us what it is. But it's interesting, the other 39 verses of the entire chapter 11 tells us what faith accomplishes. It tells us what God thinks about it. So let me ask you a question. What will your faith say about you? What are you doing today in preparation for eternity that will last that long? God said, hey, I want you to know there are some words from the grave that are worth listening to. They're the words of a man of faith. The words of a man that gave his life all because he was just doing that which was right. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for the brief time that we've been able to spend tonight around your word. And I pray that something that was said or done from the word of God was a help and a challenge. Lord, it is a